This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Hello, you're here with another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team get down and dirty on some intimate topics.
Well, not so dirty all the time. You always take it to that place, don't you?
Yeah, so it is always dirty then. As long as I'm here.
Yeah, which we always are.
My name is Elliot, and I'm joined by Cameron.
Hello.
How we doing?
Good, good, good.
So this time last week, we were at the Melbourne Esports Open.
We were, yes.
And we want to kind of talk about it.
Yeah, because it was a pretty big event. It was a pretty big, like, moment for gaming.
Yeah.
Especially, like, local, like, Melbourne-based event.
It is the biggest esport event in Australia.
Yeah, and it kind of is trying to cement us in that kind of the capital
e-sports
of gaming.
Hub.
Well, no, I think the capital of gaming for Australia. Melbourne is trying to become that, I believe.
Yeah, and this was the first Melbourne Esports Open, so this kind of dictates where things go moving forward.
Yeah, and so I think it's important that, like, the Victorian government was behind this. It was signed on for 5 years, so regardless of how the first one went, we've got another in the bag already. They're not pulling out of it. We've got, you know, it had big sponsorship. It advertised a bit, but not a huge amount. I feel it went very much for a digital advertising. I didn't see it advertised anywhere outside of digital mediums.
No, but I also don't look at anything other than a digital medium, so I wouldn't know.
But, like, I didn't ever see any, like, billboards or anything around the city.
True.
Which...
maybe Rod Laver itself had something, but,
There was some stuff out the front, but it's that kind of thing where I'm like... yeah, maybe that that kind of advertising would
have
been
beneficial.
Oh, it
took place at Rod Laver Arena, by the way, which is why I mentioned.
massive space that it took up.
Yeah,
they tried.
Like, yeah. They put in effort for this very first MEO.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So they had the main stadium at Rod Laver, then they also had Margaret Court, and then they have a little bit of an outdoor area where they had some, you know, things going on. And...
okay, what did you think? Let's go. Let's do this. How was the esports?
It was...
oh, no.
Look, no, this is the problem. It's hard to say because it is the first. It wasn't bad. And I don't know if people remember the first PAX in Australia.
I wasn't even there.
Yeah.
So it can't be that good.
Garbage.
Wow.
Garbage, but, like, room to grow.
Yeah.
Lackluster.
Sure.
And I feel a little bit the same with this one. In some areas, I think they did some areas fantastic.
Mm.
Other areas, like, I don't know if that really worked in your favor. Well,
let's start with what did work.
I actually think the stadium set up, like, the actual, like, they had, you know, good, like, actually set up in there was really good.
Yep.
And I actually think the Margaret Court Arena, while we will get on that later about when we went into there, I think the setup that they had in there was actually quite smart.
Yeah, I think the setup was really good. I think they chose a super good venue for this event. The stadium just had, obviously, so many seats available for people. It was bustling. It was a good atmosphere.
Yeah.
And the screens and the display and the actual area for the players to play in, that would seem super appropriate, really professional.
The main stage, they got Miles and Nick Boy, who are both kind of well-known in the Australian kind of gaming sphere for their time on TV and with esports.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them were great hosts, and that was a really good thing. You had that energy from them bringing people through the whole day. The hosts in some of the other areas, you know, maybe not as strong, but... what are you gonna? You can't get the best person on every stage.
Not everybody is going to be the best at being these, like, kind of shoutcasters or whatever position they're thrown into, because it is a new area in Australia. Therefore, we don't have these veterans who have been doing this for a long time.
And I think that's the other thing, is we are embracing it now with only room to grow. There's only room to grow with the kind of fan base that esports has in Australia. Outside of that, the play area was, you know...
Game On, I think it was
Game
called.
On.
The Game On Space. The JB Hi-Fi Game On Space.
Um,
I actually thought it was pretty good.
I thought there was some good stuff there.
There was more than I expected. So when we walked into Game On, they had games like The Division 2. Yep. They had Spider-Man. They had a good PSVR setup with a few awesome games, including Beat Saber, which I just found myself loving. Yep. They had Ori and the Will of the Wisps. They had the Spyro Reignited Trilogy.
There was plenty there. And there was stuff that people wanted to play. That's the other thing. It wasn't just like the, like, oh, you know.
New Assassin's Creed as well.
Yeah, like there was stuff that hasn't been playable before. There's stuff that, you know, won't be playable again until probably PAX.
Yeah.
If that, which, and let's be honest, Ubisoft turn up to everything.
Considerably smaller lines than you'd expect at PAX. Oh, yes. So that's what I appreciated. I walked into Game On and I got to play all the things I wanted to play in a fairly succinct amount of time, which was awesome. And
yeah, like your queues were like, at most, I think like 10 people at one point. And I think that was the most that I ever saw in there.
Well,
no, like
per queue.
Per queue.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying.
You like, make it sound like it's desolated.
But no, I'm talking about like you go to PAX and you've got like, oh, like I have to wait in front of 30 people and they only let, you know, 7 in at a time.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't work. Like this was good because they had a lot of monitors set up. That's a lot of monitors for people to actually play on.
Yeah, it was a pretty big area and not as many games. So yeah, there was a lot.
And I think it was just organized, you know, a bit better. I will say, Sony got real weird with cameras anywhere near their thing. Like, even if something appeared in the background of a shot, they're like, no, 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 you have to delete that.
They it's did like, not want any filming taking place anywhere near Spider-Man.
And always, I remember saying to Luke, I'm like, that game comes out in a week.
Yeah, there's like so much footage like, already out. Like,
and people could only play a section that has already been shown. And that's the thing I went, what are you worried about here? This is really weird, but people would just descend on you. But it was really fun to play Ori, the new Ori. Oh my god, it was so good.
Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Yeah.
Have you played the first game?
Yes. It's and good, it makes me want to go back and play it again.
Right?
Now.
Oh,
because
Ori.
It was so. Because here's the other problem. I was an idiot and I tried to play it on keyboard and mouse. And I'm like, that was a mistake.
That should've was a mistake.
Should have played it on controller.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was really good. Like, that game space was fun. There were small competitions happening for people to just kind of jump in and get involved instead of, like, signing up and sitting around and waiting, which was more kind of the Margaret Court side of things. So there's just a bit more kind of energy. It was quite funny because we arrived and we walked straight in without waiting. And then I turned around like 5 minutes later and there was a queue of like 30 people to get into the room.
Yeah, I think an event must have just ended and then people kind of poured from that into the Game On area.
Yeah, and people got in fairly quickly.
Yeah.
But it was just funny that it was like, we went in, no one there. And 5 minutes later, filled the room. And we're like, what's going on?
So that's what worked.
That's what worked.
What didn't work?
Well, number one, I feel bad for them because I feel like the weather was a huge detriment to them.
Yeah, it didn't help, did it?
It didn't. It was a really... Look at today.
Today
is a beautiful sunny day. 1 week ago, we had drizzle, rain, cold.
Yeah, it was just overcast
just
the whole
miserable.
Day.
Miserable.
Yeah, and it wasn't fun.
It wasn't fun. It was like there was no reason to be standing outside at any point in time.
Yeah.
And they had organized for some stuff to take place in outdoor areas. Unfortunately, you know, they couldn't really take advantage of that space.
Mm.
And I think the other problem that I had is that for the space they had, the space was maybe a bit too big for what they had in mind in terms of between locations.
100%. It felt like you would often like walk the corridors between two different areas and be like, this is empty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this was PAX, there'd be booths, there'd be happenings, there'd be people like crammed into even the smallest corridors because there'd always be something to see and something to do and so many people to fill that space, whereas MEO felt a bit like the space was too big for the amount of people there. Possibly that's because they were expecting more people than they actually got, or maybe it was just that everyone was crammed into the arena watching the esports and nobody was participating in any of the kind of outside-y smaller spots.
Yeah, it's like it had this feeling when you would go between the stadiums that it was like the end of the day, and then I'm like, it's like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, there should be people here. And it felt very much like, you know, everyone was just in the one stadium or overplaying Spider-Man.
Yeah, it kind of felt like they needed more attractions to bring people into those kind of additional areas that they had all this space for. Like, we saw some stuff there, and it was just empty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt sorry for the people who were, like, running little booths or trying to, like, promote themselves and be like, these people might not have seen somebody walk past in an hour. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's just so empty.
There was one little space that I think had to do with degrees in game design. It was like a little booth to teach people.
Some kind of university.
Yeah. Something like that. When we walked over, there was a little crowd there of people who had kind of maybe wandered out of the stadium opposite them.
Hmm.
But for the most part, again, like those spaces, just there was no reason to go there.
Hmm.
It was just... and so when we were out and we were in those spaces, and I remember at one point during one of the shows, we went and stood outside for a little bit just to get some air. And it just felt like I've been to, you know, sports events before. And when you go out into the corridor between things, people will like come and go and leave and go in and stuff. And so it's always busy no matter where you are near the stadium. But I didn't feel that. It felt like the stadium was closed. And, but like, I felt there was a rehearsal going on.
It kind of seemed like they assumed it would be like that with a lot of people. Because even some like food stores and stuff that were in those areas that weren't very occupied were just empty, but running. So they clearly thought people would be there, but nobody was there. Anyway, do you want to talk about Margaret Court Arena first before we go into the big Rod Laver kind of...
Yeah, so Margaret Court was an interesting setup where they divided it by four. And then there was also a weird little central section as well that we didn't get into.
There was a central section?
Yeah, behind all the screens, there was also something in the middle, but I think that was
for the players?
I think it was for the players.
Yeah.
But basically what it was the four screens were separated into different smaller events.
Yeah.
You had one that was permanently Fortnite.
Yep.
You had one that was more focused on fighting games, one that was focused on, like, they had Minecraft running, and one that was for kind of racing.
Yep.
Yep.
And these weren't esports professionals playing in these stages. These were, you sign up, you kind of join in and have some fun and play on the kind of competitive stage, but in a non-competitive kind of setting.
Yeah, and I think you can walk away with like $50 or like $100.
Yeah, it was cute. The Fortnite one was probably the busiest, maybe?
Yeah, which was interesting because we've debated many times about Fortnite as an esport. And
I was always on the side that Fortnite should not be an esport.
Which I was as well. No matter how much you tell me I wasn't, we can go back and listen.
But the Melbourne Esports Open just solidified that viewpoint for me. That was atrocious. Watching Fortnite was the worst esports experience I've ever had. And I know this was a tiny little event and it wasn't like, it wasn't the professionals playing, but also the setup they had and stuff was mimicking a professional setup. And it was just
confusing the way they set it up. So it worked in teams of four, and each table had a color. But it turns out, apparently, there may have been actual technical difficulties that stopped them from being able to swap between players. So we actually got stuck on one player on the main screen for the entire game, who never actually killed anyone, but was in the winning team.
But that's the problem with Fortnite. A lot of the good tactics to winning Fortnite happen to be not engaging in combat.
Yeah.
Which is what this team did. They were on the outskirts of the circle. They were always avoiding combat. They were looting and hiding.
And so these shoutcasters
boring to watch.
The shoutcasters are trying to shoutcast about, and they're getting some wood and some stone.
But I actually don't know what setup would have been better. Like, sure, you could dash between different teams, but then that's just chaos and confusing. And I can't root for any team if I'm dashing between multiple and never really understanding who's winning and who's progressing.
I think...
Whereas this time it stayed on one team and they actually won. So we got to see the full victory from beginning to end. But it was the dullest experience ever.
And here was the other thing that we realized a couple minutes into it, was that the eight tables... Did we decide that they weren't actually playing against each other and were just online?
So there were eight tables of teams of four, which means there were 32 players.
Yep.
But there were 100 players in the game. So what they actually did was they just connected into an online match. Okay. And some of the teams may have been in the same match, but they definitely weren't all in the same match.
No, because I never saw any of them, because they all had that name like, you know, MEO Pink 01, MEO Pink 02, and I never saw anyone else with that name die. And so I don't know if they're there or not.
It was a super weird setup. How would you describe the competitors?
Oh, they were all children. Like, it was all kids. But I don't know if we walked in for like a junior match or something.
We definitely didn't.
There could have been a more adult one.
They had Fortnite at the Game On area at JB Hi-Fi too.
And that was also full of children.
Yeah, and that was particularly... I'm like, guys, there's new release games. You know Fortnite has been out for a year.
For free.
And it's free. and it's literally available everywhere, including your mobile phone.
Except,
go enjoy Spider-Man.
You know, maybe these kids don't have any of that stuff, Elliot. Don't judge.
You don't think they can play Fortnite anywhere?
Maybe they don't have any of that stuff. Maybe they
but
can't
they can
afford,
afford
it.
A ticket to the Melbourne eSport Open.
Maybe it was a special treat.
Maybe. Why are you trying to make me feel guilty? I highly
doubt
it.
Because you should. But anyway, yeah, it was... Also, I noticed Quake Champions was in the Game On thing. Did you go anywhere near that?
No, because I've played Quake Champions at home. It's available.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even know that. That's how little I care about
Quake.
Yeah,
they opened up the beta for free, and anyone can jump in.
But I also noticed the cool thing that I did see is, like, these kids who know some of these esports stars from Australia, the esports stars did come into the Game On area at one point and were happily talking to these younger kids.
Mm.
And I was really happy to see that kind of, like, attention to fans, that kind of, you know, getting them psyched up and... Yeah, pointing these kids in a direction that maybe esports is an option.
Yeah. I think it was cool. And yeah. I think the actual event is what people were going to see. So there were the Overwatch on Saturday.
Yep, the Overwatch Contenders, which is the kind of smaller Overwatch League that is usually done within a region.
Yeah.
The winners don't, like, suddenly go on to play in the Overwatch League. But it's, you know, you win
it's
a big
their
prize.
Opportunity.
And it's that chance that if... Overwatch League turns to us and goes, oh, do we want an Australian team? Well, that's the team that keeps winning contenders.
They would still have to qualify, I believe, but they're now kind of sitting at the top of Australian esports.
Well, technically, it would probably be what it is they'd buy the rights to the team.
Right.
And then people would get distributed.
It's an interesting setup. And then League of Legends was on the Sunday.
Yeah, the OPL, which is the Oceanic Pro League.
Pro League, yep.
I had to think about that for a second, didn't I? So we watched a lot of Contenders.
Yeah. Well, what do we think?
Look, I enjoy watching Overwatch esports for the most part. It was lovely to watch it in a stadium full of people who got it and were super excited about it. There were some great plays. I think it's one of those... kind of esports, so that you need to be willing to walk away from and just be like, ah, I'm just going to grab a drink. And
for
it doesn't
me,
matter.
I like esports on an international level, but the more local stuff I've never really gotten into. Not because it's any worse necessarily, but I just haven't. And so being in that crowd of people who are clearly there to support the teams that they know and love,
yeah.
And I don't know and love them because I haven't engaged in that. But you saw people, you know, buying their team jerseys and whatever at the kind of merchandising stands. You saw people cheering in the audience and like going raucous over big players. And
people,
it's like,
had their signs up.
Yeah, there were clearly people here who this event was tailored to. And I don't think I was one of those people. So when I was sitting there in the audience and it was like 2 hours later and we're still watching the same match, I'm like, my God, I had no idea Overwatch went this long.
Yeah,
what's happening here?
Here lies one of the big problems. So, first, let's say that in the end, the match came between the Sydney Drop Bears and Darksided. So,
and I was going for Sydney Drop Bears because they have the best name.
Yeah.
But most of the crowd was going for Darksiders because they were Melbourne-based, I think, right?
No, Darksided weren't. I think we discovered they're
Adelaide-based.
Well,
they're just the underdogs.
Sydney Drop Bears have won, like, everything.
Yeah.
So, I think people were rooting for someone.
Always cheer for the underdog.
Yeah. Earlier in the day, Kanga Esports and Order had lost in the semifinals. So, we watched the semifinals, no problem. Semifinals was a normal setup that actually, I don't think, went on too long. It was easier to watch. The problem we had with the grand final, when it got down to it, is normally you have five matches in... Overwatch. So a good
but a
team...
match is decided by three games, right?
Mm.
So okay. So this is when it gets a lot.
Yeah. Wait. No.
No?
No, no. A match, like what I'm talking about is you've got five different maps and the maps have different things that can extend it or end it very quickly.
Yeah, but the winner of any one match or map is decided via three games.
No.
No?
No. That's what I'm saying. It's just that map and you play it like you would normally play it.
But, yeah.
But there's...
But isn't there attacking,
you do both
defending?
Sides. Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah, so they're two different games, and then the third game is the decider.
But that's only if it goes into overtime and needs a decider.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, that's not saying that every game has
No, you're
three.
Right, it doesn't, but it felt like it.
But, so you have five maps, and usually, like, if someone's really good, three maps, they wrap it up. And you can get that done in, like, an hour. When you actually take into account, each map was maybe, like, 20 minutes at that. But... the grand final was seven.
And look, it makes sense for the grand final to go longer.
Does it?
It does in tennis.
Me and
it? I don't
me
know.
And
maybe
my
I'm making
very,
things up now.
We were there with some of my closest friends and my husband, all Overwatch fans.
Yeah,
and even they, at seven matches, were just like, "Okay, we're done. Let's go home."
Yeah,
we didn't make it to the end. We couldn't because it was that thing that the games kept going back and forth for so long.
Yep.
And then it was one would win one map, one with the other. So there was no wrapping this up quickly. And we're just sitting there going, when does it end? Will it end? And like, so we ended up leaving at, I think, about 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then we went out for like dinner and drinks at a new little bar that was opening up. And then I think at 8:30, someone sent us through who the winner was. I'm like, I wasn't not going to spend another hour and a half there.
Yeah, it felt like it went too much. And that's not necessarily a criticism of the Melbourne Esports Open. It might just be a criticism of esports in general, that it has the potential to go this long, depending on how the kind of teams map out.
4.5 hours for one game between two teams. Like, no one would sit through... And that's where, like, not with half time and breaks and shows or anything, that's just playing time.
Yeah.
No one would sit through that in a normal sport.
Yeah.
Esport is just as
difficult. So regular sports, you'd have your half time and something would happen, right? In this, the teams would swap and whatever, but that's just downtime while you're sitting there waiting for the next thing
and
to happen.
And they'd play some stuff on the screen, but, like...
Yeah, I wasn't.
I can watch that elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think there was a lot of good there. But just the length and that kind of, you know, drowned it out. In opposition to that, you had League of Legends, which was a much shorter event. But also because we had no semis. It was just straight to the grand final.
Yeah, they just kind of cut to it.
Yeah, they went straight to the good bit. They got down to it.
And that was the Direwolves who ended up taking that one out.
Yeah, so Direwolves against...
Oh. Dot, dot, dot.
The Chiefs.
Okay.
Yeah, Direwolves against the Chiefs. And the Direwolves took it. Like, they absolutely dominated, as they have the entire season.
Yeah, and it's really cool to have them have this kind of stage to say, you know, we are the best in Australia. Here's us presenting at a massive esports arena.
Yep.
Hopefully that means they can move forward and do this actually at an international level.
They're actually known internationally for the most part. People,
but they still
have a name.
They still haven't, like, competed in that kind of... like the League of Legends World Championships, they still have never made it that far.
Oh no, but they have a really large following. Like they've got a huge social media presence, and so that's really helped them get a name out there.
Yep.
So like, there's a lot of good that came out of this weekend, and there's also a lot of areas that they can look at next year and go, right, what do we need to start working on now to get it to where it needs to be next year? And as I said, the first packs, the second one, amazing because they figured it out.
Yeah. So hopefully that's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah. That is all the time we've got. Cameron, thank you for chatting to me about the Melbourne Esports Open.
Thank you, Elliot.
Oh, you got very close to the microphone.
Yes, I did.
Join us next week because, of course, there is more intimate goodness coming.
Yep.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.